There are close to 13,000 Afghan refugees staying at Fort McCoy in western Wisconsin. The base had been closed to the media for weeks, but after some refugees raised concerns about conditions there, reporters got their first chance to tour the facilities yesterday. Our next guest was one of those reporters and has been closely following what's happening at Fort McCoy. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234 about the resettlement process. And there are drives to pull together clothing and other necessities for the people living there. Have you participated in that? Are you organizing that in your community? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Emily Hamer is a county government and criminal justice reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. Emily, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, you were part, as I mentioned, of a group of reporters who got to tour Fort McCoy for the first time since Afghan refugees arrived. Can you share some of the stories you heard from the people you met there?
Yeah, so I got to meet three Afghan evacuees who are staying there up at the base in Fort McCoy. One of them, he was a helicopter pilot for and he assisted the U.S. Army and other people who were in his same position. He said that they got assassinated by the Taliban and he had to hide from the Taliban while he was in Afghanistan. Another was actually an NPR reporter. So she was reporting from Kabul. And another was a Paralympic wheelchair basketball player. She wanted to leave Afghanistan because she couldn't play basketball there anymore. Another was a women's rights advocate who her work would have put her in danger had she stayed in Afghanistan.
And we see a lot of statistics. We see the numbers of people and sort of the general category of Afghans resettling here in the United States. What was it like to actually, have names and faces and personal stories and just and bring these to life for your readers?
Yeah, their stories are just, they're so amazing. And I was really struck by, in particular, how grateful they are just to be here. I would expect them to be more angry with the U.S. government, but they just are happy to be alive and happy to start their lives here. And they want to be contributing members to the U.S.
Can you paint us a picture of what this, in effect, temporary city looks like?
Yeah, what really stuck out to me was just there are so many children there. Nearly a half of the roughly 13,000 Afghan refugees there are kids. So you can see them kind of riding around on bikes, playing frisbee, playing soccer. They had a soccer game there. They were in a soccer field and other adults were cheering them on. There was also a craft center and people or the kids were making fall trees out of construction paper. Just lots happening. It really does seem kind of like a little city. And then the base itself is kind of rows and rows of these buildings with white siding and a red roof. And those are the housing buildings. There's about 250 of them. And that's where the Afghans are staying, about 60 people inside of one building. That's a barracks style building.
You had reported last month on concerns about conditions at the base. You were able to talk to a couple of the Afghans living there. What kind of concerns were they raising?
The Afghans I talked with yesterday, they didn't really have any concerns. They were pretty happy with the conditions there. But I will note that they showed us the officials showed us a clothing distribution facility. And while it is great that so many people have donated and that there's so many donations, that roughly 1,200 Afghans still had not gotten a new set of clothes when we were there Thursday morning. They said that that should be fixed today and that everyone in the base should at least have gotten a chance to get one new set of clothing.
We are talking to Emily Hamer from the Wisconsin State Journal. She was one of a group of journalists who got the first tour at Fort McCoy since Afghan evacuees arrived there. And Emily, I used the phrase refugees loosely earlier. You talked to people about their process in trying to get visas, many trying to get special immigration visas who had worked with the United States in Afghanistan. What did you hear from people about what that process is like for them?
I didn't really get to talk with them much about that. We only got 10 minutes with each person. So it was really kind of just focused on who they are and their experience getting here to the US. But yeah, right now they're just kind of waiting for their papers to get processed. An official with the Department of State said that Fort McCoy is getting close and to being able to really resettle large groups of people. They have to complete their immigration processing and medical screenings. Not really much info on the timeline for that, though.
There have been a couple reports of crimes at the base. Can you tell us about that and what you heard from officials there?
Yeah, there were, I think last week they arrested two men. One of them, he was a 20-year-old man, he was arrested for sexually assaulting two of the boys on base. They were only 12 and 14 years old. There were multiple incidents of that. Another man was charged with allegedly choking and suffocating his wife. Really kind of gruesome stuff. The officials there, though, said that they have police. There's a police presence there, and that's a relatively small number of crimes for a city this size. They're calling it a city, and that the security situation there is under control.
A big picture, is there a thought of how long we'll have this city in effect at Fort McCoy? Is it going to go away suddenly, or is it just going to be a steady trickle as people get that legal status and then settle into their new homes somewhere in the United States?
That's really unclear to me, and I think it's also unclear to the Afghans who are staying there. One of the women that I talked with for my initial story said they told her it could be 2 to 6 months before she can get resettled, even though she had her special immigration visa. But that kind of changes every day, so I don't know how long they'll be there and how quickly they'll be able to get resettled.
You mentioned that clothing exchange, and in your reporting, you mentioned that there are efforts, there are drives going on around the state actually to gather materials. What kind of things are going on?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is that Fort McCoy has partnered with the Salvation Army. So if anyone is interested in donating, they can bring their clothes to a local Salvation Army, and those will be able to get up to the base and actually be given to people. They're looking for either new clothing or gently used clothing and freshly washed, just so that people can have something that's wearable. There also is, they're looking for cash donations online, and there's an Amazon wish list where you can buy some things and then ship them up to Fort McCoy as well.
Yeah, what again, you only had 10 minutes per person, but did you hear some of the things that seem to be of greatest need, at least as of yesterday?
Yeah, I think winter coats are still in really great need. I think they really want that. For in terms of the clothing, officials told me before that one thing they do need is clothing in smaller sizes, that the men and women there are typically just smaller than we are here in the US, and there are also tons of children there, so children's clothing and shoes as well.
So you got this access to the base and this city of Afghan evacuees yesterday. What questions do you still have as you continue to follow this story?
I'm wondering whether there are still any, or whether there are other active investigations at the base. I feel like it's probably not the end of crimes there with these two arrests, but I guess I don't know that. I also really want to know how long this is going to take. I haven't gotten any good answers on that, of how long the resettlement process is going to take. So I think that's a big question for everyone, especially the Afghans who are there just kind of sitting and waiting.
We'll leave it there, Emily. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
That's reporter Emily Hamer from the Wisconsin State Journal with us today to share some of her reporting on Afghan refugees at Fort McCoy. She was part of a group of reporters who were able to visit the resettlement site there and meet with some of the evacuees. Coming up, we'll talk to the head of an organization working to launch an effort to provide legal help to those evacuees at Fort McCoy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you made a donation to help Afghan refugees staying here? Many are in the middle of the immigration process. Have you been through that process yourself? Any words of wisdom about what the process was like for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about Afghan evacuees currently staying at Fort McCoy near Toma. Many of them are in need of legal help navigating the immigration process. A group at the UW-Madison Law School hopes to provide legal assistance and resources to help. You can join in if you have thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Aaron Barbato is director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the UW-Madison Law School. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us about the legal aid your group is hoping to be able to provide for evacuees at Fort McCoy and elsewhere?
Certainly. Currently, there is a legal clinic on the ground at Fort McCoy run by the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops. And I've been supporting them a little bit with volunteer work, as well as other attorneys are going up there to help provide legal resources to the people that are staying at Fort McCoy from Afghanistan. And my students in my clinic are also doing a lot of research and looking to help represent people who need representation in the process of applying for status here in the United States who are from Afghanistan.
I've talked to you in the past about asylum seekers, for example, at the southern border. There are people with refugee status looking to come into the United States. This is kind of a different case. Can you talk about the unique legal aspects for Afghans, many of whom are seeking these or in process of getting these special immigration visas?
No, it's such a good question, and that's where a lot of the confusion comes in. So we have this refugee and asylum law where in the United States where we offer protection to people who can't return to their home country for fear of persecution. And many of these people who have fled and evacuated Afghanistan, many of them would qualify as technically as refugees or asylees, but many of them have gone through the process or started the process to apply for a special immigrant visa, which is a faster way to be on a pathway to citizenship and receive protection in the United States. But many of their process was cut short because of the emergent need of them to leave. And so now they're here in the United States and they've been here and they're being vetted, but their pathway to citizenship is a little bit unclear right now.
And I imagine, these are people who had to leave in many cases in a hurry. Does that mean, maybe the documentation they'd been halfway through or the identification, things like that, might have been left behind, making it more difficult now?
That can be the case. Many of the people that I met with at Fort McCoy, they had all of the evidence, an overwhelming amount of evidence, these textbook cases, which would allow them to qualify for asylum. But obtaining a special immigrant visa here in the United States is not really the process that is available. Normally, you have to have the SIV, the special immigrant visa, prior to departure from your home country. But they didn't have the way to stay there and wait for their interview to get the visa. They still would qualify for the visa, but it's just based on their location right now. And so if someone was expecting to get an SIV in this expedited way of obtaining benefits and citizenship, and now they may be forced to go through the asylum process in the United States, which may take years, it's not what our country promised them.
What would have to happen to turn that process back on again and expedite that, even though it happens to be in not the usual place?
It's such a good question, and I'm surprised more people aren't really talking about it, but there could be a way to have Congress act and create something similar to like the Cuban Adjustment Act, a special Afghan Adjustment Act that would allow people that had worked for our country, people that we had promised a special protection, to adjust their status here in the United States to that of a lawful permanent resident in a more expedited way. Or there have been some talks about expediting, having a special process for asylum for people from Afghanistan so they don't have to wait in these incredibly long lines that most people who are seeking protection have to.
Talking to Aaron Barbato, director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the UW-Madison Law School, looking at the legal situation for Afghan evacuees currently living at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin and at other military bases around the country. Aaron, is it clear for an Afghan refugee or a lawyer working with them, like who to go to, like in the bureaucracy to take the next step for their special immigration visa?
Generally, it's very difficult. The Department of State has been managing most of the process for the special immigrant visa, but it's a huge process that involves many different agencies. And now I think our government is very much working towards finding this pathway to citizenship and how do we provide services to the people that we made this promise, these promises to, has served our country. But some of it is unclear at this point, and many of us are looking for answers, and it's definitely something that's keeping me up at night.
So what are refugees' range of options, assuming they want to live in the U.S. And stay permanently? What has to happen for them to move off of a base and start to find a home to settle into?
Well, in order for them to leave the base, they're going through a process of biometrics checks as well as vaccination and medical checks. And that may allow them, once those have been completed, they may be allowed to leave the base and then resettle with family or other communities where people from Afghanistan are living and then start their lives in the United States. But a big component of that is for them to ensure that they have this pathway to citizenship so that they can build a life here and have permanency here, because this is a country that they are going to have protection in and where they're going to need to start building their lives.
Right. That's a visa. Getting that is not citizenship or a guarantee of citizenship. What has to happen between successfully getting that special immigration visa and then becoming a citizen somewhere down the road?
Well, there's a lot. Normally, when someone would obtain a special immigrant visa in Afghanistan, they would then arrive in the United States, and then upon admission, so once a Customs Border Protection officer saw their visa, determined that they qualified for that visa and admitted them into the United States, they would automatically be a lawful permanent resident, putting them on that pathway to citizenship. So 5 years after obtaining that lawful permanent resident status, as long as they still qualified, they could apply for their to become a U.S. citizen through the process of naturalization. But because people had to depart prior to obtaining that special immigrant visa, they even though they may very well have qualified for them, and almost all of them probably do, they are now kind of in this limbo, this gray area, waiting for more information from our government.
Do we have a sense of how many of the Afghan evacuees at Fort McCoy and elsewhere might end up making their homes here in Wisconsin?
You know, based on just information I've been reading, I've heard that there are about 400 families that will be resettled in Wisconsin, in different areas of Wisconsin, but I don't have a number beyond that. Mm.
Have you talked to refugees there as you're working with them on this legal work, or do you hope to, about their hopes and where they want to live and who they want to live with?
Yeah, no, it's such a good question. Most of the people I talked to had family members already in the United States. And some of the people that I even talked to at Fort McCoy were already U.S. citizens or lawful permanent residents, but had fled with family members that didn't have that status yet. So they were waiting to be to go through the process at Fort McCoy before departing. Most of the people that I talked with, some had brothers and sisters in the United States. One man who had worked for the embassy, his parents and his brother and sister were all U.S. citizens living in Arizona. So he was just waiting to be given permission to depart Fort McCoy and then reunite with his family in Arizona. So many of them do have connections in the United States and know the communities where they do want to live and build their lives.
On a practical level, how are Afghan evacuees at Fort McCoy and elsewhere communicating with the State Department? Does the State Department have people on the ground or visiting these resettlement centers, or is this going back and forth by the mail and the phone and internet, fax? I don't know.
Well, people at Fort McCoy, many of them do have access to the internet and do have their phones. So the Department of State is communicating with certain people, especially with pending special immigrant visas, by email and providing them some updates. But it's nothing as concrete from what I know. But there is ways for people to communicate through their phones and through internet with these agencies. But it's, you know, it's a lot of people and a lot of people we made promises to. And so I think the government, I hope the government is working really hard to come up with these answers to ensure that we're welcoming these people that served our country with dignity.
You mentioned a Catholic legal group working there, your group, the Immigrant Justice Clinic. Is there enough legal help out there, or are you trying to spread the word for people with relevant expertise that their services might be needed?
You know, there will certainly be lots of legal services that are needed to represent people who evacuated Afghanistan or are seeking refuge in the United States, whether it's helping them apply for their green cards, their lawful permanent resident status, or if they're, many of them are forced to go through the asylum process. Attorneys definitely will be needed to help represent people in a pro bono fashion, or some people may be able to pay private bar attorneys. But there's a lot of people, tens of thousands of people arriving that will need representation and have someone stand next to them during this process to ensure that they have this pathway to citizenship that we promise them.
In our last minute, so you mentioned that Congress could, by passing a law, make a big change here and speed things along. Absent that, at least for now, is there something you'd like to see, especially from the State Department, that could help things out here?
You know, I think definitely more information, more transparency for these people so that they know what is going on. So many of them have suffered trauma based on what happened in their home country, and now they're here without answers of what their future may hold. So transparency is really important, but I also think, you know, providing more information on how they can have this pathway to citizenship here in the United States.
Erin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
That's Erin Barbato, director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the UW-Madison Law School. She was with us today to talk about the clinic's efforts to help provide legal aid to Afghan visa applicants at Fort McCoy here in Wisconsin.